Well, hello again. As always, thanks for tuning in, folks. PCC Sustain Me is jazzed to have joined forces with The Bridge, Portland Community College's student newspaper. This means there will be a weekly column online for your eyeballs to enjoy with the weekly episodes. Isn't that nice? And we are super duper stoked to be working in partnership with GIPSN, the Greater Portland Sustainability Education Network, as well. You can connect and access the program via gpsen.org, too. Now the podcast has multiple cozy places to call home. Okay, well, back to the program we go. From Portland Community College, this is PCC Sustain Me. I'm Joe Colhane, and my guest today is La Loba Loca, and we'll be talking about allyship, being an accomplice, and dismantling systems of oppression.
Boom, boom, darkness falls, headlights in the air.
Well now, this past weekend was the 10th annual Portland Plant Medicine Gathering, held in Southwest Portland, at the National University of Natural Medicine. I was excited to attend this conference as it has been on my radar for the past 10 years, and I was finally able to attend. I was also quite pleased to see the amount of work that has gone into making the event one of the more actively inclusive events I've seen here in Portland, and in Oregon as a whole, for that matter. Right on their homepage, they lay out their position quite clearly, as it says. With full awareness that we live in a white supremacist patriarchal culture and that the practice of herbalism in this country historically has been represented through a European lens, this conference does not support or tolerate cultural appropriation, racism, sexism, fatphobia, homophobia, or any forms of oppression. This gathering aims to create a space outside of this culture where diversity is welcomed and celebrated. Yes. Isn't that just awesome? It really is encouraging to see such blatant regard for the current circumstances here in these United States of America. It was also refreshing to see that the intensive being offered on Friday was called But I Am an Ally, how healing and herbalism can be oppressive, and how to not be that ally. The intensive was being led by La Loba Loca, and I'm really glad to have attended this intensive, and also for Loba's kindness and willingness to talk with me later in the weekend as well. Before we get into the conversation I had with Loba, I would first like to acknowledge that this program is being recorded on the traditional village sites of the Multnomah, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Bands of the Chinook, Tualatin Kalapuya, Molalla, and many other tribes who made their homes along the Columbia River. Multnomah is a band of Chinooks that lived in this area. We thank the descendants of these tribes for being the original stewards and protectors of these lands since time immemorial. We also acknowledge that Portland, Oregon has the 9th largest urban Native American population in the U.S., with over 380 federally recognized tribes represented in the urban Portland metropolitan area. We also acknowledge the systemic policies of genocide, relocation, and assimilation that still impact many indigenous Native American families today. We are honored by the collective work of many Native nations, leaders, and families who are demonstrating resilience, resistance, revitalization, healing, and creativity. We are honored to be guests upon these lands. Thank you, and thanks also to our colleagues at the Portland State University Indigenous Nations Studies Program for crafting this acknowledgement. And Just to follow up on the land acknowledgement, I would like to add that the opening ceremony of the Portland Plant Medicine Gathering was led by Rhonda Lee Grantham and Toby Joseph Sr. and his family, who are a strong part of the indigenous communities here in the Pacific Northwest. They shared some beautiful wisdom as well as some potent medicine in the song they sang as well. And then we were all treated by the keynote that followed, which was by Karen Sanders, who is of Choctaw and Hungarian Jewish ancestry and was co-founder of the Blue Otter School of Herbal Medicine in Northern California. Karen's keynote was mesmerizing for me, and her message of leading from a heart-centered space was beautifully inspiring. She also shared a good dose of real talk that complemented or perhaps provided a little different take from the one La Loba Loca provided during her intensive. And as far as that intensive goes, I feel it is worth noting that I was the only male in attendance. You know, that isn't very encouraging, fellow men out there. We've got some work to do, as was discussed in the intensive. Okay, well, I caught up with Loba at her booth, and I'll just let her fill you in on her take about being a part of this year's Portland Plant Medicine Gathering.
Hi, my name is Loba. I am from southern coastal Peru, from Arequipa, and I live in Los Angeles right now. Well, it was interesting because they asked me to come to this workshop twice already, and this is the first time that I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go. And they asked me to do the intensive, which is, I think, the first time that I do it in this 10 years. So I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm going to do it. And I didn't know what to talk about because I didn't want to just come and share about herbs. Most of the workshops that I do are mostly for people of color. So I wanted to, you know, talk some, like, you know, I have heard that it was mostly, like, white people that would come to this workshop, with this conference, which I think has shifted in the last couple of years, which is great. But I wanted to kind of like share something that made sense with, like, you know, who are people that are actually here. And we had like almost 40 people come through. So it was a really good turnout. It was like pretty much like a packed room. I was very anxious for like 2 weeks around like the workshop because I didn't know what was going to happen, right? But I feel like a lot of folks already kind of had an idea of, you know, what was being said. And it was like way easier than I thought it was going to be because I was scared that I was going to have to be like, you know, arguing, and I don't like arguing. I'm just like, you can think whatever you want to think, like, I don't care. Like, you can pay me more money to have consultations and we can argue, but like, I just don't argue like that. So it was like pretty easy going until it was funny because I posted in my Instagram like, oh, it was actually very easy, and folks like were really receptive. And like 5 minutes after I post that, this white lady pretty much cornered me because she was like, oh, it was really hard to be in your workshop. And then she started crying. So one of the things that I shared in my workshop was about Rosita Arvigo, which is a white woman, like an American white woman that went to Belize and like quote unquote learned from medicine men over there. And I know people that are from that community, like that Mayan community, that have straight up told me what happened. So that's what I shared, right? So I shared about how the community there doesn't like her, and I believe she stole some sacred stones from there too. And then this lady was pretty much telling me, like, you don't know the whole story. And I was like, I know the whole story because the people that are from the Mayan people told me this. And then it was just like a weird back and forth of being like, I really don't care about your white tears. Like, I've been so desensitized from white tears too that I'm just like, I don't feel any empathy, or like, I think I've trained myself to not to, just because I've been taught all my life to feel empathy towards, you know, whiteness, or like people are like super light skin, like a white passing, or that are, you know, like closer to whiteness in that way. So like, I feel like it's been so much training that I was like, oh, it's interesting. Like, it kind of upset me a little bit, but it wasn't really like that. It didn't affect me that much, but it was just funny because she was just crying because her teacher, you know, because I had, you know, talked about her teacher, I guess, in a bad way. But to me, it was just like sharing truth. Then I told my friend who shared this with me, and then she was like, oh, you know, like, that sucks that she was supporting her. And I was like, I know, but a lot of people didn't support her, so she was happy about that. And then she was like, oh, you know, people in, like, our community, like, we kind of get, like, a weird feeling, like, a heartache when we hear this shit. And I was like, I know, so I'm not going to keep sharing with people, you know. So it's just, I think, like, important to, you know, even, like, even though it makes people feel uncomfortable, especially when it comes to their teachers, just, like, to talk about that and to be able to stand up against them or, like, call them out, call them in.
Okay, so I'm just going to pause right here and try and get a little uncomfortable. So just to give a little more of a background on what Loba is talking about is Dr. Rosita Arvigo. And the Arvigo registered trademark techniques that were developed on a story of hers that says it was under an apprenticeship with the Maya healer Don Eligio Ponte, and her education is in question because there are people in the Maya region who believe she essentially, you know, observed and learned this technique, took these sacred rocks, moved back to America, and then branded these techniques, and has been making a great deal of money off of them. And then, of course, the tricky part to untangle from all of that is what's going back to the Mayan people. And, you know, where is the equitable exchange of information and these, you know, the hundreds and thousands of year old techniques now being sold through the Arvigo registered trademark name, and and how that's tied to capitalism and what that means. And this is tricky, and I'm just learning about it myself and trying to understand the calling in and examination of the appropriation of not just you know, attire and practices, but when you take another culture's modality of healing, brand it so it is yours legally, and then maybe not give great reciprocity back to those people who say that you've stolen it, then that does lead to some questions that need to be answered. And look at the power dynamics of our dominant culture here with capitalism at the forefront. I'll let Loba describe it a little more from her perspective as well, because it helps me to understand this better as well.
So I have a meme that it's abuelita knowledge, which translates to grandma knowledge, is when something around, like, when science told you that plants could hear, but you already knew that because you were already, like, taught that, or, like, you know, you saw them, you saw your, like, fams in your family doing that. And then somebody reposted that and added, thinking about how much of my training is appropriation. And I was like, wow. But, you know, it's about everything, just even just being part of, like, the academia or, like, any kind of, like, healing workshop, like, how much of that is, like, appropriation and, like, taken away from people and repackaged and sold. But that's the thing about capitalism, right? Because even just, like, I do my business, like, or my hustle, it is based on healing and sharing. So I also have to, I'm always thinking about it, like, how much of this is me, even if it's, like, my own culture, like, how much of this is me, like, doing things that I shouldn't be doing. Like, there's this capitalism, I think, just, like, really, like, makes it so much harder to have, like, a clear understanding of what we're doing. But I don't know, I feel like I have a lot of anxiety around that too, you know, just, like, being like, am I doing this right? Is this okay? Am I, like, selling somebody else? Am I selling myself, right? So it's just, like, a hard line. But I think that ultimately, like, it's very important, especially for people that hold, like, systems of power, like, you know, white supremacy, like, white people, white passing people, white Latinas, to, like, understand that the constant worry, like, is not something that I think, you know, white people or people that profit greatly from white supremacy usually think about. So, you know, like, and even I talk to other folks, and we're always like, oh my God, is it okay that we're doing this? Is it okay that we're doing that? And then we're just like, shit, like, this is conversations that we have because we know how this feels and it doesn't feel good. So we don't want other people to feel that way. So we are constantly thinking about this, but, you know, wondering if people that have, that are, you know, that are white or that have, that are like very close to whiteness, like even think about that, right? So it's just like a lot of like mental labor that goes into even thinking like, is this right? Like, should I be doing this? Oh my God, I'm not doing that right. But I think that definitely one of the main things would be just being okay with being like, I'm sorry, or like, oh, that's a good idea. Like, let me change what I'm doing. But, you know, I guess understanding also that capitalism is a trap.
A trap. Capitalism is a trap, isn't it? And I suppose this goes back to the dismantling of these systems of oppression that Lobo was talking about. But what does that look like? What does it mean? From my viewpoint and positionality, it means being ever more aware of the privileges I have and how I'm playing into the dominant culture, and to just check this as often as possible and work towards transforming it. This right here is an example of that. I'm operating from within the systems and doing what I can to observe them from different perspectives and then speak to what I'm seeing through a racial equity lens. You know, and I don't like what I see. Repeatedly during the intensive, Loba mentioned that unless we are actively working towards dismantling these systems of oppression, we cannot really move forward doing things like thinking it is okay to practice medicine from other cultures that aren't your own. Because even a single person is not an entire cultural group, and the power dynamics and likely a colonial settler's mindset have led them to be willing to grant that permission. Regardless of the circumstances, I admit that it is tricky and rather difficult to navigate all of these concepts. I come by these difficulties honestly myself, and, you know, I was born into these systems, just like a lot of you were. Nevertheless, that does not excuse me or us from broadening our perspectives and raising our awareness about how oppression affects others and how it affects me and you too. We all suffer from this. Well, I was curious to find out if Loba took any encouragement in the recent elections here in the U.S. with so many women and people of color with different racial backgrounds and sexual orientations was at all encouraging, and if there were maybe any reasons to be hopeful that new systems can take the place of these broken ones we're currently operating under. I loved her blunt and honest response.
I don't know, I think it's hard. I feel like I try to be hopeful, but I'm also like not that hopeful. I don't know, I have a hard time. I feel like the most that I can see like a pattern of learning that I like is just plants and just like seeing community of plants grow together and like the resilience. I think that helps me be hopeful about things. Just being like, oh shit, like if they can do this and I can do this. If this seed was like, you know, like being tucked away in a little clay pot and then, you know, like far away from its people, and the people found the pumpkin seed and then now the pumpkin is growing. Like, I'm like, wow, that's like awesome. So I feel like the more questions I have around like what does the future look like to me, it's just mostly like, oh, maybe it just looks like plant communities. Like figuring out how to have relations that are helpful for each other and for the planet and from Earth and from the territories that we're on, and just kind of like creating relations. That's basically, yeah, but I don't really think that this change towards like having more women or like POC people in Congress, whatever, is gonna really do much. But I guess, you know, a band-aid maybe for now until we make it all crumble down.
So burn it all to the ground is the solution. I think that's what a lot of people are arriving at, and I think that's awesome. I mean, not awesome that we have to burn it all to the ground, but right?
It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Yeah. So it's just not working. So it's like really, there's no way to fix it because it's already broken.
Yeah.
So we really need new new stuff. It has to be completely new.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Is there any last final thoughts you just you'd love to share with largely white, largely privileged, largely dominant culture audience?
Well, I think that, you know, what we talked about yesterday, the idea of, like, no more allies, more accomplices. So there's a zine that you can, you know, Google it and get it for free. It's a PDF. But just, like, talking more about, you know, like, what does allyship look like? And it's actually, like, neoliberal concept in a way. So really just being, like, down to, like, redistribute resources, to, like, get in the ground when shit gets real, like, stay there, like, figure out how to use, like, whatever it is that, you know, you have to actually, like, put into practice. And if you're interested in following me, I'm on Instagram, @laLobaLocaShares. And then I have a Patreon where I do a lot of, like, content creation. And it's patreon.com/laLobaLoca.
Thank you so much.
Love them all and let them all break your heart.
La Loba Loca, folks. La Loba Loca is a queer Chocola Andina South American migrant artist, researcher, writer, hand-poked tattooist, full-spectrum companion doula, aspiring midwife student, seed saver, gardener, and yerba terra. Loba is currently based in Los Angeles, California, but constantly travels across Turtle Island and Abya Yala to facilitate shares and circles on herbalism, plant relations, social justice, healing justice, and autonomous health. You can go to lalobaloca.com to learn more. It was really an honor to share in that half-day intensive with Loba and everyone involved, and to be able to sit and chat for a bit to share here as well. Perhaps we can find a way to bring La Loba Loca to PCC for some workshops or a talk. I sure would like that. Before I wrap this whole thing up, I did want to reiterate what Loba mentioned about the PDF zine that you can download if you go to indigenousaction.org. There are a number of resources that will likely shake up your perspectives around social justice and how best to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. The ally industrial complex is a real thing, folks. It's a tricky road to navigate, and I'm still learning my way. I know it is inevitable that I'll stumble and fall along the path, though I am certain that if we are truly to reach a sustainable and socially just future, we are going to have to come to some serious reckonings, and this is one of them along the way. Big thanks to La Loba Loca once again, and to all that helped put together the 10th annual Portland Plant Medicine Gathering at NUNM. The intro and outro music are by my darling wife, Rachel Robinson, and this episode was recorded, edited, and produced by me, Joe Colhane. Thanks for tuning in, and even though I know La Loba Loca has a meme that says it's okay to hate men, I'm still going to stand by this closing thought. Eventually, we are all going to have to love them all. Every last one. Some are just going to need a whole lot more of that tough-ass love than others.